16th, the first interview with Mr. F. T. Liu by Sutherland. This is the second interview with Mr. F. T. Liu on the 23rd of March, 1990, by Sutherland. This is the second interview with Mr. F. T. Liu, taken by Sutherland.
So to continue, Mr. Liu, Mr. Bunch had made arrangements with the Belgians for the withdrawal of the Belgian forces. Mr. Lumumba was not happy. But as you were saying, the Belgian forces did for the most part withdraw, is that correct?
That's right. According to the agreement reached between the Belgian ambassador and Ralph Bunch, the Belgian troops withdrew by stages. As soon as the UN troops arrived in a locality, they would withdraw. And that continued, that process continued until the end of July, when all Belgian troops had been withdrawn except from Katanga. Then we hit a crisis. The Belgium refused to draw further. They say that, we will withdraw if you arrive in Katanga first. And secondly, we cannot withdraw immediately because the Katangese authorities had begged us to stay. On the other hand, Lumumba was taking the stand that the UN should go to the Katanga by force if necessary, and not only go by force, but go with the Congolese. So there we are caught between two very different positions. Thereupon, Hamashul decided to go to the Congo himself and direct the operation of introducing UN troops to Katanga, because he thought that that was a must. He thought that the UN could not interfere in an internal problem, which was the secession. But what the UN could do is to eliminate the Belgium interference, and once the external influence had been eliminated, then the Congolese could achieve a national reconciliation. That was the way he believed the Congolese, the Katangese secession should be resolved. So at the beginning of August, he arrived in Leopoldville, and after a detailed discussion with Bunch, decided to send Bunch there as a vanguard for the arrival, later arrival of the UN troops. Bunch's mission was to get from Chombe an agreement to let the UN troops deploy in Katanga. And secondly, to advise the Secretary General whether the UN troops should be sent right away or at a somewhat later date. So on the 4th of August, Bunch went to Katanga and I accompanied him. We saw a show of force in Katanga. Chombe was deploying his gendarmes everywhere, and he told Bunch in a very adamant terms that if the UN should send the troops to Katanga, there would be fight and a bloodbath. Bunch also saw the red chiefs, the tribal chiefs in Katanga, and the Belgian authorities. And after thinking over for the whole night, he decided to recommend to Hammarskjöld to delay the arrival of the UN troops. So he went immediately back to Leopoldville and Hammarskjöld decided to return to New York to get from the Security Council a stronger mandate and then come back to achieve the deployment of UN troops in Katanga. So around the 11th of August, having secured a stronger security resolution, he was back in Leopoldville, and this time he decided to go to Katanga himself. On the 12th of August, he went to Katanga with a group of his advisors, including myself. And his plane was followed by, his plane was a DC-6, was followed by two DC-4 full of Swedish soldiers, 200 Swedish soldiers in all. His plan was to explain to Tshombe that he came with his personal guard. Then he would leave the Swedish soldiers there and who would be joined by other UN troops after that. When we arrived in Elisabethville, at the airport of Elisabethville, that was about 1 p.m. The airport was full of soldiers. Oil drum was placed on the runway. Guns was pointing at the UN plane. And Tshombe from the tower said, "You could come, Mr. Secretary General, alone, without your troops. You would be welcome. But you cannot come with your troops." And Hammarskjöld immediately replied that he would come with the troops or not at all. And during that conversation, with the guns pointing at our plane, which lasted about 15 minutes, we were circling the airport. And finally, Tshombe yielded and said, "All right, you can come with your Swedish soldiers." Then we landed one by one. At the airport, Hammarskjöld was greeted by Tshombe, and we proceeded slowly towards the airport terminal. But just on our way, and I'm sure that was the trick of Tshombe, there was an honor guard with the Katanga flag. And as Hammarskjöld arrived near the honor guard, the music struck, and everyone stopped, and he had to stop. And he saluted, in a way, the flag. He was criticized for that, but Hammarskjöld explained later that by courtesy he had to stop before the honor guard, and that that his gesture had no political meaning.
I wanted to ask, while Hammarskjöld was in Leopoldville before going on to Katanga, had he had any discussions with the Congolese government about his proposal to go to Katanga?
Yes, he didn't see Lumumba himself, but Lumumba was informed that he was going to Katanga in order to achieve the deployment of UN troops there and the withdrawal of Belgium soldiers. Lumumba immediately wanted Hammarskjöld to take a Congolese military unit with him. Hammarskjöld refused. Then Lumumba said, "At least take some of my ministers with you." And Hammarskjöld refused. Hammarskjöld explained that the UN force was there to help maintain peace, but it cannot interfere in the internal affairs of the Congo or to support one party against another in their internal struggle. And his plan was to achieve, to eliminate the Belgium influence so as to pave the way for negotiation between the Congolese leaders for the peaceful resolution of the Katangese secession. Lumumba, of course, rejected this stand. And he strongly protested against the action of the Secretary General, that is, against the decision of the Secretary General to go to the Katanga alone without the Congolese.
And actually, the Secretary General was able to leave the Swedish troops there. So in a sense, this was the beginning of the deployment of UN forces in Katanga. Is that
absolutely
correct?
Absolutely. The plan devised by the Secretary General was implemented satisfactorily from the UN viewpoint. When Hammarskjöld left Elisabethville, he left behind not only the 200 Swedish soldiers as a vanguard of the UN contingent in Katanga, but also a representative of the UN, a political representative of the UN, who was Mr. Ian Berens.
But when Dag Hammarskjöld returned to Leopoldville, the reaction of Lumumba, at least, was extremely negative. Is that correct?
Extremely negative. Violently negative. There was an exchange of letters between Hammarskjöld and Lumumba. And Hammarskjöld decided to go back to New York to request a clarification of the mandate from the Security Council.
And it was at this point that the Soviet representative in New York also became extremely negative toward the efforts of the United Nations. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, they had been already negative when the feud started about the deployment of the UN soldiers in the rest of the Congo. They adopted a position in favor of Lumumba. That is, we should throw the Belgians out.
By this time, how many UN forces were in the Congo? Quite a few, I assume.
Oh, yes, nearly 20,000. We were nearly the peak at that time.
So, in fact, with the deployment of the troops in, at least some troops in the Katanga, the country was really covered then for the first time.
That's right, it was covered. But the secession problem was not resolved, because although the Belgium forces, invading forces, had left some Belgian military advisors remain with Tshombe.
Mr. Liu, you were with the Secretary General in this rather critical mission. Could you give your impressions of Hammarskjöld's feelings, his attitudes at this point? Was he influenced at all by a sense of disillusionment with Lumumba, that you couldn't work with him? Was his attitude toward the Belgians extremely negative at this point? How was his general attitude?
Well, his attitude was that he has to implement the Security Council resolution. That was his single-minded attitude. Now, Lumumba, being opposed to his plan, naturally was a negative factor. Their relationship was not good. Hammarskjöld tried very hard all the time to improve that relationship, because he knew that he had to work with the Prime Minister of the Congo. And that objective never left his mind. With Belgium, with the Belgian government, he adopted the attitude that the Belgian government must withdraw their troops from the whole of the Congo, including Katanga, and then the Belgian government should cease all help to Tshombe. And as long as that was not accomplished, he would fight for it. And since the Belgium still left some military advisors, and probably through the Union Minière was giving financial help to the Tshombe secessionist setup, he would continue to be in a conflictual situation with the Belgian government.
And he had conversations then with Trombe during this visit to Elizabethville. What were these conversations like?
The conversation with the Trombe is on the deployment of the Congo, the UN troops. He assured the Trombe that the UN was impartial and that their goal was to help the Congolese government to maintain law and order, and that the secession must end because this is a negative element in the pursuit of law and order in the Congo. And I believe that he maintained this position to the end. In fact, before he left for the for Elizabethville on the 12th of August, he sent a memo both to Trombe and Lumumba, or rather both to Lumumba and Trombe, on the policy of the UN, which is that the UN will do everything possible to achieve the withdrawal of the Belgium forces and will help the Congo in maintaining law order, and therefore in helping to the extent possible in the national reconciliation effort, which according to him is the only way to resolve the secession of Katanga.
Which was a question which was with him the rest of his life.
That's right. In fact, he died trying to achieve this objective.